Schuller, and I want to welcome you to The Call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls. You know, Donna and I look forward to this time every month where we can get together over the phone, we can read the Bible, we can pray together, we can listen to interesting guests who share great information, and of course, there's a time to answer your questions. We're here to give you some mid-month encouragement and to help you get through whatever challenges you may be facing. And so this week, of course, we have the tragedies of the massacres in the nightclub in Orlando. And so that weighs heavy on our heart, and I'm sure it weighs heavy on many of your hearts. And it's a very fascinating position that I find myself in right now. I'm in a car with a couple colleagues, and we're driving back from visiting with Bishop Blake from the West Los Angeles Church of God. And so I'm conducting this call from a car, and I've often said, and I think this is the first time I've done the call from a car, but I've often said you can listen to it. I never realized that I can actually do the call from the car as well. So I am here, and Donna is in Newport. And so, again, we want to welcome you to the call.
Yes, good morning. Yes, hi, Robert, from the road.
It's not good morning, it's good evening, though.
Your trusted wife is at the control panel at home and faxing you things, or should say emailing you things and texting, and wow, it was kind of crazy. In fact, up till about 5 minutes ago, our two-year-old grandson was here along with our daughter, and I actually made them dinner before they left while I was copying the script and all this stuff. So anyway, thank you so much for joining, Robert. I am the call again this month. This is a telephone gathering, a church service, if you will, that's held on the 15th of each and every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We've been doing this call now since November of 2012. We haven't missed a 15th yet, and that's almost 4 years. So it's saying a lot, because no matter where we are in the world, and we do travel a lot, we still are committed to this call on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We've done it in the middle of the night. We've done it from Korea. We did it from the Philippines. We've done it from Washington, D.C. I mean, I could go on and on. Wyoming. We've been all over the place.
Well, we did it from the Capitol, not just Washington, D.C.,
yes,
but in the
Capitol. Yes, we were in the Capitol. We were in a congressman's. And in fact, all of these are archived on Podomatic. It's Robert. I'll give you the address later. But we have this up on a podcast after we're done with this, and it's very interesting. We get lots of people looking at this over and over and over again, because you can, you know, listen to it at your leisure. But anyway, I just want to get back to what the call's about. This is a monthly telephone church service. We also have a time of questions and answers at the end. So take some note, get a notepad or pen if you can and you're not driving. And remember, you push star and the number 6 when you want to ask a question. We also, this evening, we want to take your specific prayer requests so that either Robert or our guest, Mary, who I'll introduce in a while, or myself can pray for you tonight, right now. We'll pray for you after we get done talking in a while. Can we read our scripture and pray together? And if there's anything you need prayer for, anything at all, ask it of us, announce it. You don't even have to say your name if you don't want. When you push that star 6 and I see it, you come up on the control panel, I typically don't know who you are. And if I do know who you are, I won't call you out unless you introduce yourself. So you just push star 6, take notes. You can ask questions of our guests or of Robert Wright, and you can please, please give us your prayer requests. So later in our call, we will pray for you. And speaking of prayer, Robert, would you like to open us in a prayer tonight?
Of course. You bet I would love to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your graciousness and your love. We thank you for your strength and your power. We thank you for being a God who is in constant source of sustenance and strength. And so continue to empower us with your presence, with your grace, with your love. May that love and that peace transform our hearts and our minds, that we might have a greater understanding of you, of what you can do, as we trust and put our faith in your guidance. And so as we continue to try and figure out what this world is all about, May we constantly remember that it's not up to us, but it's up to you. And that it's up to us just to follow. And so we know and we trust that in your protective guidance and your love, that we can rest assured of the positive, wonderful things that are going to take place. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to just give a little report on what we're up to. Like I said, I'm driving back from Los Angeles right now. We had a little conference in Los Angeles with approximately 30 pastors to talk about protection of the First Amendment. There are many of us who are concerned about the First Amendment rights, and in fact, when we were meeting with Charles Blake today after our meeting, Charles Blake is an amazing pastor of a huge church, and he's also the president of a denomination with 13,000. Is that right? Is that what he said? 13,000 churches. And it's a huge denomination, and he was saying that Clinton told him, or he read that Clinton said that she is going to do whatever she can to force the churches to accept the LGBT agenda. And so he is very concerned as well about the whole First Amendment, because that's government stepping in and telling churches what to do, as opposed to churches historically from the beginning of our country have always stepped in and told our government leaders what's the right thing to do. It's completely upside down. So he is very concerned about that and wants to work with us to make this a reality. So Anyway, we are driving back from there right now, and it's a joy for us to be able to, and a joy for me to be able to have a part in making a difference politically, theologically, and constitutionally to make our country secure and safe, moral, and healthy. So if you can pray for me and for my colleagues. I'm with two gentlemen. One you may know because I've interviewed him before on his name is Paul Murray. And the other one you probably wouldn't know because I haven't interviewed him yet. Did you hear me say yet? And that's Alan Inman. And anyway, if you could pray for us and for this whole First Amendment initiative that we are that we are working on, we'd really appreciate that. Secondly, the thing that Don and I have been would like your prayers for is Schuller Health. We have a new website that we put together. It's tied with everything else we have, but it's called SchullerHealth.com. And what we're doing is we're helping people who are addicted to opioids, to drugs or alcohol. We're helping them find recovery by getting them into a treatment center and getting them sober. Our next step is to help them get into a transitional living center, because we know the statistics are very clear that you can go go and get sober and go to a rehab, and if you're there for 30 to 60, 90 days and you quit at that point, the odds of you succeeding, the numbers are do not lie, the odds are 20% that you'll succeed. On the other hand, if you'll follow that up with a transitional living center, the odds go up from 20% to 80%. So we are in the process of helping people first get sober, secondly get into transitional living so that we can help people get well and they can live the kind of life that God wants them to live. So if you can pray for us in that endeavor, we'd really appreciate it. We're in the process just today. It's been a very hectic day. Donna was talking about some of these things because we helped five women and we're getting them placed into recovery today. So anyway, that's what we've been up to. And again, if you can keep us in your prayers in that regard, we'd really, really appreciate it and covet your prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you like me to read the scripture now, Robert?
Yes, would you? I was just about to ask you to do that.
I actually, first of all, let me give you a little background. I don't need to give you a background on prayer. Robert's going to talk about that in a second. But I had, every month we have a different subject, and typically we have a different guest. Once in a while, Robert and I will just do the church service by ourselves, but typically we have a guest. It makes for a lot more interesting conversation, so you all don't just have to listen to us blab on. But I was,
come on, Donna.
Even before this horrible shooting in Orlando, I mean, it's hard to even fathom that, people like this exist, but we just keep hearing about it more and more, way too often. But even before that, I really decided that I wanted to speak about prayer tonight. I wanted Robert to offer a short message on prayer, and I really wanted to talk about prayer because of the difference it's made in my life. So, I spend time researching scriptures and thinking about, people to introduce and all that. And in about probably 10 minutes, I'll be introducing my guest. But when I was choosing the scripture, what I wanted to use as a prayer scripture, I realized there were like 40 really great ones I could have chosen. But I chose one from Romans, which is short. And then I also want to read you something a little longer from James, which is my favorite book in the Bible because it's about applying your faith as opposed to just knowing scriptures and learning more and more. It's about actually living your faith and being a good example to other people. And I just love the book of James. But anyway, first I'm going to read something from Romans, and it's Romans 12, verse 12. Very simply, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And I just thought, there's so much to those three phrases. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction. You think of the horrible affliction of the beginning of this week, and faithful in prayer. And the next verse I would like to read is from James, and it's James 5. It's at the very end of the chapter. It's actually in verse 13, and it reads as this: is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. I mean, how's that? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we want to talk about that. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. So take it away, Pastor Robert.
Take it away. You bet. I'll take it away. We're talking about prayer. And I've been involved in prayer and teaching prayer for decades. And I've had lots of people ask me, how is it possible to pray for an hour? And my response is, how do you not pray for an hour? And the reason for that is if you don't have an outline for things or how to pray, you're right. If all you do is sit there and think about God, and it's hard to think about what to pray for. But if you have an outline of what to pray for, an hour can go by very, very quickly. So I use different outlines to pray. One of my outlines that I'll use for prayer is the Lord's Prayer. And you can use the Lord's Prayer as an outline, and if you do, you'll find it a very, very good way. But I know lots of people use that, so I'm not going to use that one today, but I'm going to use a different outline because not as many people are familiar and it's as they are with the outline of the Lord's Prayer. I think most of you could probably figure that out if you read the Lord's Prayer, an outline for your prayers. You can probably figure out how to do that. What I'm going to give you is actually how to your hand as an outline to pray. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to do to pray. If you look at your hand, it starts off with the thumb, because the thumb is usually the one that's closest to you. But he's close to you. So just that alone could take close to an hour when you have as many family members as I do. I start with my oldest daughter and her husband and her new baby, and I pray for them. And then I go to my oldest son and some of the challenges that he faces with his congregation and the hour of power and his wife and his family and Cohen's health issues. And then I continue through the family with my daughter Christina and her family and Anthony and his schooling and everything he's doing, and then praying for my wife. And I continue to pray for people who are close to me that I care about and that are meaningful to me, and all my friends. And it can take a long time to think and pray about just the people who are close to me. Well, once you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you're only getting started, because that's just your thumb. Then it's time to pray with your pointer. You know, your pointer are those who lead the way, those who give you guidance and leadership. So it's a time to pray for our pastors. It's a time to pray for our teachers, for those who give direction and set the courses of our lives. And so for me, I've got lots of pastors that are on my prayer list that I pray for. And if you don't have many, I would encourage you to get some. And the same with your teachers. And a lot of people, when they will also include their doctors in this, and so your health professionals and other things, other situations like that. But people who point the way and give leadership. Then your next finger is your longest finger. It's the one that stands above all the rest. So that one is for us to be able to pray for our leaders. So you go to your third finger and you pray for all of the leaders. Start with the President of the United States. Whether you like him or not, whether you voted for him or not, he is still the President of the United States of America. And regardless who wins this election, I'll say the same thing. We need to pray for the President of the United States, because she is in a position of authority, and this is the time for us to pray for all those who are in a position of authority. And so we want to pray for our senators, for our congressmen, for our state representatives, for our city, for our county. We want to pray for the policemen. We want to pray for all of those who are in a position of authority who are going to have impact in our culture, in our society, and ultimately in our lives and in the lives of our family and our children, and in our future. So when I come to that finger, I pray for everybody who's in authority. The next finger is the ring finger. And for the ring finger, what I do is I realize that is the weakest finger on your hand. Any piano teacher can tell you that is the weakest finger on the hand. And few people can do as much with that finger as they can with others. There's some little tricks you can, if you strengthen that finger, you can do some tricks with your hands that other people can't do, because it is a weak finger. So what does that tell us? To pray for those who are the needy in our society, for the homeless, for, like Donna and I say, the alcoholics and the drug addicts, for those who are just really in a position of weakness and need strength, those who don't understand who Jesus is, don't understand who God is, those who appear strong but in reality are weak, and you'd be amazed at how many people we need to pray for who fit into that whole category. We pray for those who are weak. And finally, the smallest is the one that comes last, and it is your pinky finger. And that's a time to pray for yourself. And you keep it for last. You keep it for, because again, it's that of least importance. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And we pray for ourselves and what our personal needs are, and for God to be able to give us the assurance that He will answer our prayers, and He will give us the desires of our hearts, and they'll fulfill our needs. And so you can use the hand to pray, and you can be able to, you'd be amazed at that if you follow an outline like that, you'll be surprised how long your prayers are. It's not going to be 5 minutes, and you won't be twiddling your thumbs going, what do I pray for now? Because it's an enormous amount of people who need prayer, who covet prayer, who require prayer, who want prayer. And so as we continue to use different tools to pray, you'll discover that there are ways to be able to make this happen. So again, if there are other tools that we can use to pray, such as the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is a completely different tool that we can use for prayer, and we can intertwine these tools together as we become more accustomed and used to praying, and you'll find yourself not only praying your hand, because that reminds you of who to pray, but then the Lord's Prayer will teach you how to pray, and as you coordinate those together, you'll see prayer really taking a huge part in your life. So that happens to be my comments on prayer.
Well,
but,
thank you, Robert. And as usual, I have a couple questions and a couple wrenches to throw at you there, okay? I loved that.
Of course.
I've heard it
before. What are you for?
That's what I'm for, right?
That's what I'm for, right?
I'm the protagonist of the whole deal. No, not really. We're partners in ministry and have been for a very, very long time.
Here's a
couple things I have to say. First of all, so that people don't, typically there's people that listen to this that have never prayed before in their life. I know that recently in my Bible study, and I mentioned this last month, I believe, so I'm not going to get into any detail, but I've recently had somebody that I've known for years and years and years that admitted to me they honestly didn't know how to pray. They felt silly when they did. They didn't think they were articulate enough. They didn't think they had the right thing to say. So one of the things I wanted to just not really ask you, maybe I'm just going to kind of point this out, and that is that, I mean, it's my understanding prayers don't have to be long and drawn out and outlined like that, number one, because you can simply say, and this is what I've told some people to say recently who have written before this call and said, oh my gosh, there's been so many tragedies, I don't even know what to pray, and my answer to them is you just pray, well, you don't know what to pray, pray, help me, Jesus. End of story. So, you know, help me, Jesus. Help me get
you know, my father whatever. Used to, my father used to say, oh, Lord, you know more than I do what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in a large part, what you're saying, that we don't always know what to pray. We don't know what to say. And
I think more than that, some people can't pray.
Because prayer is communication with God.
Right.
And so all you do is you talk to God like you would talk to a trusted counselor or a trusted friend, and that's how you talk to God, and that's how you pray, and you ask for His help, you ask for His assistance, and if you follow the Lord's Prayer, you ask for that after you recognize who He is, after you recognize your relationship with Him,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't get all of that right, if you don't do those things, that's not a it's not a big issue. The important thing is the heart. The important thing is the intention. The important thing is where you're coming from. And if you're praying, none of those things matter, because the prayer is just the act of praying is really the only thing and the most important thing that God wants. I think the best way to understand that is to understand a parent receiving a phone call from a child. If your children never call you, how do you feel? And if you haven't heard from one of your children in 2 or 3 years, let's say they were drafted by the Army and they were hauled off and they couldn't call you and couldn't talk to you for a year or two, how excited would you be to all of a sudden get a phone call from one of your children in that situation? I mean, the thought of it is just overwhelmingly, it was overwhelming, the excitement that I would have being able to hear the voice of one of my kids. Well, that's the same way God is with you. If you haven't talked with him in a long time, the longer you go without talking to him, the more excited he is when you call. And so the phone isn't a red line or a cell number, or it isn't an iPhone. It's simply a heart, and it is in the you simply can start communicating and call out to God, and he'll hear your voice.
Thank you. And you know,
does that answer your question at all, Donna?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello?
Thank you. Are you there? Hello? Can you hear me? Robert?
Hello, are you there?
I'm here. I hope everybody else can hear me.
Hello, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello? Robert?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. We're still going. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
Did you hear everything I said?
Yes, of course. No, I heard everything.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at the control panel. Everything's fine. Sounds good. So another thing, before I'm getting ready to introduce my guest here, because I want to talk about taking prayer to another level. I want to talk about connecting and the power of prayer in and of itself, not exactly who we should pray for and when we should be doing it. And I know that's just one part of what you believe, Robert, because I know you've also done a lot of teaching on what St. Paul says, and that is to pray without ceasing, that you don't have to just get down on your hands and knees and close your eyes and be at the foot of your bed. You don't have to hide in the dark room in the closet and take away all distractions, that the conscious efforts involved in just praying without ceasing and just being in a prayerful mood, whether or not you're driving down the road or whether or not you're walking on the beach or whether or not you're talking to somebody that you're trying to help in your mind, you can be praying constantly without ceasing, right, Robert? I mean, you've taught on that
Correct.
For a long time. So,
yes.
But what I picked up on is I heard you say that, you know, talking and praying with a trusted individual. So I want to get into introducing my guest, because I also want to point out something that I learned with you and a long time ago when we were at a retreat with Norman Vincent Peale and his wife years and years ago. And I remember there was a little card on the bedside stand, and it said, prayer doesn't necessarily change things for you, but it always changes you for things. And I think that's a really important thing about prayer, is that if you are engaged in prayer in your life when you're going through your, especially when you're going through your really, really stressful times, it will help you. You may not see immediate results from your prayers, from, you know, saying, dear God, help me with A, B, C, D, E, and of course, starting out hopefully by being in a grateful spirit and thanking God for everything he is giving you, but you're always going to be changed, and that's what I want to talk about. So, after you give us that great little mini sermon on how to pray, I want to kind of go into more of like the experience of how it can literally transform your life and transform the person that you are. And so I've invited this evening, actually, she's my closest friend in the entire world. I've known her since her son was in kindergarten, actually in preschool at Rancho Capistrano, and she and I became friends because she was actually coaching the girls of volleyball when I think Christina was probably a sixth grader. So Christina would have been 12, and Christina's maybe 10. I don't know. Anyway, I've known this person for almost 20 years. She's taken me and helped me through some really rough patches in our ministry, Robert, some really rough patches when we went through things with our children. She's a mother of four and married to a wonderful man and been married for about the same amount of time as we have. We've been married 32 years, for those of you that don't know. So we've been through a lot. They have a blended family. We have a blended family. They have grandchildren. I mean, this is just a great couple, and I have invited my very dearest friend, Mary Olds, on with us tonight to talk about the kind of prayer we've been sharing with each other for about, I want to say, this particular kind of prayer. We've been sharing it back and forth for about 4 months now. And anyway, my friend's name is Mary Olds. Mary, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Do you know what, Donna, what you didn't mention was the fact that you two are prayer partners.
Well, that's exactly right, and we're going to talk about that. Thank you. We are prayer partners. We've been doing this for about 4 months, and I would like to talk to Mary so that you all can hear exactly what it is we're talking about, and then I want to encourage everybody to try to do this, and it has to be with a trusted friend and somebody that you don't mind sharing your dirt with, too, because some of the prayers aren't pretty, you know? They're just from the heart, like you said, Robert. They're from the heart, and the Lord hears you if they're from the heart.
And I think the other thing that's interesting to mention about Mary is that her husband, they're a praying family. Not only are the two of you prayer partners, but her husband, I know at least once a week, maybe more, walks all the way around San Clemente with a couple other or maybe one other person,
right,
and prays for the students at San Clemente High School.
I'm going to let ask Mary about that.
Do that.
Absolutely.
So, aww, thank you, Robert and Donna. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you, Mary.
We love you, too. So how often does Tom walk around San Clemente High School?
Well, he has been doing that for a couple years. He started his little ministry when our son kind of went awry with, you know, getting into marijuana and partying, and it broke our heart, and we realized there was nothing to do but get on our knees and pray together. And then Tom started, he read a book regarding doing circle prayer. And he started circling the school 7 times, kind of like the walls of Jericho, and circling the school 7 times and praying for each and every student there. And it was kind of beautiful. One day they were walking, and one of the gentlemen bent down to pick up a piece of paper. And on the paper, it was specific prayers that a student had written. Please pray for us when we do. And it was like an angel had just kind of dropped it in his path. Because Tom was thinking, what am I doing? Tom, I think he's on there tonight listening. So maybe he could tell you a little bit more. But that's how the Lord encouraged him in his walk with prayer. Literally his walk with prayer. I can't do it. It's too long.
It's too early,
anyway,
right?
Yes, and he does it at like 5:30 in the morning every Saturday. So if there's any San Clementians, you're welcome.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
Well, Mary, specifically what I wanted to talk to you about is what we've been doing with each other. And, you know, I just want to start out by saying that, you know, I mean, I'm like anybody else that's listening out there that's going to pick up on this on this podcast, you know. I go through some really, really rough times. I know that we've had family issues, like with our grandchildren, which is also very troublesome, and I've needed prayer for that. And we've had financial problems, and a lot of people experience that, and so I've needed prayer for that. I have the problems that everybody else has, even though I'm a pastor's wife. I'm just putting it out there. So I'm not going to be this big stoic person and just, you know, God's going to help me, although he will, and he does. But I'm also not going to share my dirty laundry with just anybody. I know that lots of people feel really good about being on prayer chains. I personally don't care for that, for me personally, because I want to be able to pray and to divulge to just one person, or maybe two, my husband as well sometimes. But I want to be able to tell one person the deepest, darkest desires of my heart and where my pain is coming from, and to ask him, would you please, please pray with me? So about 4 months ago, I was having one of those rough times, and Mary said, well, you know, I have this prayer group, and we pray with each other, and we kind of text prayers back and forth and all that. So I said, golly, would you do that with me? So we've been text praying back and forth now for 4 months. We stopped for a week or two, and I started to get sort of anxiety ridden again. I started to go down that path of worry and regret and fear and all that. And then when I get there, I kind of just yell out, get behind me, Satan, and come into my heart, Jesus. And that works. But at the same time, I need somebody and to pray for me in writing, in words, and then I need to reread those prayers someday.
Yeah, but it's not really fair because you are so eloquent. And everyone listening, Donna's prayers are a little better, and that bothers me. But
No, they're not.
It means the world to me to have a friend to pray like this. And I encourage everyone out there to get a prayer partner. And once again, your words, God hears your heart, not your words. And he doesn't care
Absolutely.
About spell check.
That's what it is all about.
He doesn't care about spell check.
Thank goodness.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord. But I want to say one thing.
I can imagine.
About,
yeah, you guys text your prayers to each other, right?
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing because even when I read them in the morning, especially, you know, Donna knows, and the two of us, boy, we've had some stuff, you know. If I ever lost my phone and someone read it, they might be worried about us. No, I'm just kidding. Having our kids and the grandkids. You know, I honestly think that this is such a beautiful thing. And it says in the Bible, where two or more are gathered in my name, I hear your prayer. And I love that because I feel like that's kind of the beginning of where we're at. But I have to say, it's literally everything to me to have a friend that I can do this with and to have a friend that I know without a shadow of a doubt she's praying. But I've known that for 20 years. So, you know, but this is kind of a new addendum to our friendship. We're adding this in. And I do think it's a deeper level. I think that it gives you the prayer so much satisfaction. You get so much more than you give. And I do think God hears your prayers. Miracles are happening. Freedom.
Miracles
it gives you freedom from anxiety.
Yes,
it's freedom
it does.
From anxiety. Hugely.
Well, I think Robert can attest to the change in me, and I'll let him talk to that in a minute. But I wanted to clarify how I do
my...
I think you do it the same way, Mary. But Robert, when we say we text our prayers, I don't get in there and type on my cell phone. I push the button that and voice memo thing, and I literally close my eyes and go into deep prayer and pray. And it's really frustrating sometimes because the microphone will turn off without me knowing because I've had my eyes closed. And I'm like, oh, man, that was like the two best senses I've ever prayed. And then I have to go back and go, it's okay. So, Mary, I think you do the same thing, right? Do you dictate your prayer?
You know, actually, Donna, you know that I have a tiny bit of that ADD. So I actually do better when I type all the words in. But I'm that type of person. I like to do two things at once. But one thing I have noticed, and I think you probably noticed with our prayers, is I feel like God is involved. I feel like,
totally.
Haven't I sent you things before where you're just like, Mary, you don't know this, but I needed to hear that. And I've had things laid on my heart for your family that I've typed in that, I mean, it's just supernatural. And I do think that all of, you know, I'm going to try that voice activated. I finally got a new phone, so maybe I'll try that. But I do think that, you know, everybody does it in a different way, but I do think there's somebody right in the midst of us, and it's called the Holy Spirit, and it's God, and he's working in us with each other. And I just encourage everyone to get a prayer buddy.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you know, back to what I said at the beginning, too, before as I was introducing you, I've just noticed that, yes, I've had answered prayer. That is for sure. Like, I'll pray about something specifically and, like, receive an answer that day. Maybe it's a check. Maybe it's, I mean, that sounds stupid, but honest to goodness, like, And we've had that happen with, we pastored bigger churches before too. You know, you're on your hands and knees, you're asking your congregation to say, we're short here, we're doing this, that, or the other, and then suddenly a check for the exact amount comes in, the exact amount that you were shorted or something. You know, I don't know how to explain it. I think like this recent one, Mary, remember I was telling you, we had, Robert and I were doing this project for people last year, and they owed us a certain amount of money, one more payment on this project we completed, and they didn't send it. And that day, we talked to a friend who said, I'm going to donate, and they spit out that exact amount of money. And then not only that, but they blessed us and sent us a little extra. So, I mean, that's kind of that's the least. The monetary ones are the least powerful to me. I just know that it's easy to attach a result to that sometimes, so that's why I mentioned that. But prayers for people's health and just more than anything, their mental stage. And back to what I said that I read years ago, that prayer doesn't always change things for you, but it always changes you. And I am a changed person after praying this way. I do not get I don't go down that deep, dark tunnel of fear and, oh, my God, and we have to move, and what about this? And what? I just don't go there. I do not allow myself to, and I know it's the Holy Spirit that's living in me through the prayers, because I just don't. And, Mary, remember the couple weeks, I think, that we were like, okay, we're good to go now. This has been a couple months ago now. And I said,
both missed it.
Yeah, I texted you and I said, please, 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 I'm starting to get, I suffer from a little bit of anxiety again. Would you please start praying for me that way again? And you did, and it took like 2 days. And I'm like, oh, what am I worried about? Like, life is great. And do you know what? Very little has changed in a lot of my life situation, living circumstances right now, but everything has changed. So if you've ever heard nothing's changed, but everything has changed, that's how I feel about my life right now. And I don't know, Robert, I know I wanted you to kind of comment on, have you seen like a change in my attitude about fear?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And how would you describe that?
It's been remarkable how much more peace and how tranquil you are, and you're not panicked and stressed out, and it's been remarkable. So
it makes me want to cry when I think about it, to be honest.
It's that different.
I'm that different of a person. It's actually changed me. It's actually changed my God, what is it? My temperament, I guess. My temperament. Yeah.
And you know, Donna, the same is true for me. And sometimes when you write me a prayer, you know, you might not know this, but I will reread that during the day. If I'm having a tough day, I'll reread it. And one thing we do also is we will go ahead and text each other maybe monthly, like, these are our concerns.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever shared with them anything, Donna, so I'm not going to say anything, but
no. Just
certain things that are going on with maybe our grandkids, or, you know, we've had some issues with my son and my husband's health, and, you know, I'm an open book. The more people to pray for me, the better. I just think that God has maybe, like you said, not changed our circumstances, but changed us and who we are, and made us more faithful women of God, which is truly our ultimate goal in life anyway. So, but I'm honored and blessed to have you as a prayer partner. I adore you and love you so much. And,
I feel the same way about you. You know that. And I want to see if there's anybody out there that has any questions about prayer, about, I don't know, about anything. I'm going to turn on the... And I just want to see if there's anybody out there that has any questions, comments. Again, this whole situation that happened earlier in the week in the nightclub was just so tragic. And I had one gal, right, and just say, I don't even know what to pray. Like, what? How do you even pray for something like this? It's just so tragic and so awful. And that's when I said, well, if you don't know what to pray, just ask for Jesus' help. Help them, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Or just help, you know. Help Jesus. And God knows more than we know what we need. And just I think the mere act of just asking for help, from God. It just opens up doors.
And the obedience of having more than one gather in his name also, I think, plays a part in it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, for sure. So I don't know, does anybody have, people are so shy here, Mary. It's amazing. We can have tons and tons of people, but most people don't. Oh, here's somebody who wants to ask a question. Yay. Okay, let me see. Hello there.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Mary. This is Sharon.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Mary and I are friends on Facebook because of you, Donna. And I
yeah,
just
good.
Love her. She sounds just exactly like I thought she would.
Anyway,
it's been a pleasure to hear her, but I just want to give a little testimony. Donna and I shared some very personal prayers, and Donna knows what they are. And it's when you first started this group, and it was back in 2012 and 13, and we had things, you know, going on in our lives. And it was amazing how quickly they were answered and how they were almost simpatico, I want to say. They just happened at the exact right time. And I think it's awesome that you guys do what you do, and I'm glad you guys have prayer partners. And I always feel and always will feel after meeting you way back when, Donna, that if I need a prayer partner, all I have to do is send you a text, and I know you'll be praying for me. Anyway,
thank
so
you.
Glad to hear you, Mary.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice,
awesome.
My Facebook friend.
And you were too funny today, by the way. Anyway, I love that, you know, with
well,
the water.
You know, my favorite thing is joking around.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. God doesn't
it
want
is.
Us to go around looking, you know, all pruned up, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to say that and to thank both
you.
Of you. And
thank
I'm
you,
glad.
Sarah.
Oh, nice to hear
thank
your
you.
Voice.
Okay.
Hey,
anyway,
thank you for calling in, Sharon. We appreciate it very much. God bless you.
Bye, Sharon. Anybody else?
Well, I finally got to meet her.
Yeah, Sharon Bradley.
On the phone, anyway.
On the phone, yes. It's one thing. Yeah, it's interesting to hear. Well, you can't hear mannerisms a lot in texting, typing, Facebook posts, whatever. But you lose a lot.
Is Mr. Olds on there?
He probably is. Yeah, but I don't. You know, I have everybody muted except my guest. Oh, here, somebody else is asking a question. We have another question. Hello.
No question. This is your mom. I just wanted
Hi,
to
mom.
Say it was really, really nice hearing this program on prayer, and it's nice hearing Mary's voice and Robert's and yours, and I pray
Aww.
For all of you all the time. So I
oh,
just
Oh, I love
make,
you, Linnell.
Thank
I
you,
love
Linnell.
I love all of you too. So it was a great, great program. Thank you.
Thank you. Aww.
Thank you, Linnell.
Thank you for joining us. Right. You're so faithful. My mom's been on almost every.
Yes.
Time for almost 4 years hasn't missed.
Yeah,
I love it. So we
I love you, Linnell.
Love you too.
Thank you, Bye. Thank you, Mom. So we have a couple more things to do before we close here. If you have not already signed up for our newsletter, make sure you go to our website at robertschulerministries.org. And you can see there's a little bar on the right-hand side says enter your email, and you will then receive a confirmation. It'll be sent to your inbox, and you have to click on it to say, yes, I actually want this. And you'll receive a digital newsletter only 3 or 4 times a year, so don't panic. You're not going to be...
Yeah, and we don't send it out every week or every month
no.
or every day.
3 or 4 times a year. Our spring-summer newsletter came out recently, and if you'd like a copy, just go to the website and sign up, robertschulerministries.org. So that's one bit of info that we always like to pass on.
Well, Donna, let's not forget the offering time. You know, whenever you have a church service, you have to have an offering.
That's right.
And,
well, that's your job
the
tonight.
The pastor always remembers to announce an offering. So, you know, we haven't been able to figure out how to pass a plate through the phone yet. So what we do is we just ask people to go to robertschulerministries.org. And simply hit the donate button, and that's the way we collect our offerings. So we want to thank everybody for this opportunity for us to be able to be able to do our ministry, because we can't do it without these gifts and these offerings. And one of the things we didn't mention at the beginning was the fact that Don and I are printing up our new tickets to heaven. I ran across some recently that we gave away from 2000 to about 2008. Don and I gave away close to 1 million tickets. People would call in and order them 1,000 at a time, and we'd send them to them. And so we didn't personally hand out 1 million. What we did is we would send 1,000 to one church and 1,000 to another church. And these people would give out these tickets to heaven. And I ran across some of these old tickets, and they had all the old Hour of Power times where you could watch the Hour of Power on the back. And that doesn't work. The rest of the ticket works great. So what we did is we've just printed up 1,000 new tickets to heaven, and we'll print up more when those are gone. And maybe the next time we print them up, we'll have to print up, instead of 1,000, maybe we'll print up 10,000. I don't know. But we couldn't print those without your gifts. So they mean a big difference to us.
Now, Robert, because you're in the car, you won't be able to talk exactly about what this is about because I have it in front of me. I know I have it memorized. But basically, so that this doesn't sound so weird, this is just how simple it is to get into heaven. You literally accept Jesus Christ. You say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. I know where I'm going when I die. And there's a place to fill this out. So this little teeny plastic card, much thinner than a credit card, maybe some of you did have this before through the ministry when we were with the Christian Cathedral, but it's called Ticket to Heaven. And the quote on the front is, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Jesus Christ said that. It said, Jesus said it, I accept it, and there's a place for your signature. Then you turn it over, and the scripture is, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And that's from Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. So we are getting ready. They came back from the printer. Did you hear, Robert? They weren't exactly right, so they're getting sent back.
No, I didn't hear that.
But they'll be here in another week. So we're really excited about that. We want to thank you for the people that are out there that do donate so graciously to us. There's many of you to thank. We really, really appreciate it. You know, we have Paw and Paw ministry now, although we go all over the place. We're kind of crazy some days. But we don't have a staff. We have one faithful volunteer now that does a lot of our IT stuff, which has been so helpful. But literally, Robert and I do everything. We do our own podcasts. We do our own websites. We do our own posting. We do everything ourselves. We don't have assistance. So anything you do to help us is so appreciated. You have no idea. And we have local, regional, international projects we support. As mentioned earlier, our newest project is getting people who need drug and alcohol treatment into recovery. And if you don't want to donate on PayPal, you can do it the old snail mail way. Our address is Robert Schuller Ministries, 919 Bayside Drive. That's Bayside Drive, Unit E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. I want to make sure you join us next month, July 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Tell anybody you know who could use mid-month encouragement and who wants to learn more about themselves, others, and God to join us. And we approach some great subjects, always from a Christian perspective.
Well, Don and I want to thank you for your participation in the call. And I want to remind you that we meet together in this way. On what day? The 15th. If it's the 15th, what day is it? It's the day for the call. We do it every single month. Please continue to email us with your ideas or questions. And remember that we post the call on our podcast at robertschullerministries.podcast.com.
Podomatic.com.
Podomatic. You're not podcast. Podomatic.
robertschullerministries.podomatic.com. And that's all on the website. If you go on there, you just click it. And you know what? Somebody just needs to be somebody's in the queue for a question, and I do not want to not get this in case it's a prayer request. So I'm going to jump on there.
Oh, absolutely. Let's
do that. We have a few minutes left.
Prayer request.
So hold that thought, honey. Hold that thought.
You bet.
Hello there.
Hi, Pastor Robert and Donna. This is Luann. How are you guys?
Hi, and you've got Mary still on here too, right, Mary?
Oh, hi, Mary. How are you? I don't hear her.
Maybe Mary isn't there anymore.
She hopped off. Okay.
I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here.
Oh, okay. There
you
are.
Can
okay,
tell
perfect.
Her I said hi.
No problem. Hi. No problem. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I took a fall, not purposely, and not wanting to actually what I was going to say, but I fractured my tibia. I need prayer for that, please. And thank you so much for the subject tonight. I needed that so bad. It cleared up so many things in my head. As I put on Facebook, I didn't know how to pray for these situations
you are the
that
one
are
that
coming
did that.
Up.
That's right.
Yeah, it was me.
Oh, I'm so glad
and,
you joined us. See, it was meant to be. That's a God thing,
you.
A real God
I
thing.
I think so, too. Yeah, and that Pod-O-Matic is so fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, I really appreciated the response because we're just in such shock. Who can understand
this?
I know.
You know, so.
We want to pray for your tibia. We want to pray. Mary, would you like to pray for, can I say your name?
Certainly.
Yes.
What is your name?
Luann.
Oh. Okay.
Mary, would you like
dear
to pray?
Heavenly, certainly. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Luann up to you now, and we ask you to bless her and her situation with her tibia. Father, just heal her, and whatever your will is for this situation, have your glory be done through her. Father, I ask that you bless her abundantly. Help her with everything that she has to go through. Make all her healers be wise and effective, and cast all fear and doubt from her. And just bring her healing and happiness and joy through you and in all circumstances, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you,
amen.
Mary.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, Luann.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you soon.
We'll be praying for you, Luann.
Yes, Luann.
We'll be praying
pray
for you, Luann.
Thank you, Mary. That was beautiful. Remember we post the call on the podcast. I'll usually get that done hopefully tonight. If not, I'll do it by tomorrow morning. And all you have to do is go online, and you can subscribe to it in the future if you want to. And we have many, many great calls up there. Sorry, I'm a little distracted because somebody started calling me on my cell phone. So anyway, I'll ignore that. And gosh, I guess that's all we want to say. Reminders of all the above can be found on our website at robertschulerministries.org. And we just love that you joined us this evening. This is our favorite day of the month. Right, Robert?
Oh, absolutely. I love this.
And thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. And I hope my phone wasn't ringing. I'm new to all
this. No, my phone just rang. I have no.
Okay.
My phone just rang.
Someone was texting me, and I was like, stop that.
I know.
But anyway, I love you guys.
Love
Donna,
you.
Love you so much. Robert, and you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do for so many.
Thank
I really appreciate you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I love
you
guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So
love
until
too.
Next time, everybody, God is blessing you. Right, Robert?
You bet. God loves you, and so do we. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.